Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Hi, I'm Stephen.
And I'm Paul.
Welcome to Living Villa Capelli.
Buonasera, buongiorno, benvenuti.
So this podcast, we're going to be talking about, we think mostly, about our bike trip that we just recently had.
Right. We have two a year, actually, but thanks to HE Travel in Key West, Florida, who send us a couple of bike trips a year, which is pretty cool.
Yes. So I wanted to start with, but of course iTunes is not open. Thank you guys all for giving us some reviews. We really appreciate it. The more we have, the better we, more people we can reach, you know, in iTunes, the higher in rankings we go. So that really, really helps. So we appreciate it. I've done a little tutorial. If anybody doesn't know how to do it, you can go to livingvillacapelli.com/review, and that will take you to a page that tells you how to leave us a review. So we really
appreciate
that. All
it takes is a couple of words. You just have to say, love it.
Exactly.
It was great. Thank you.
And like these people who I'm about to read, I'm going to butcher your names, so forgive me. I want to give a shout out to Bingo Ho. I like that name. Joel Sexton. Let me go see. Rye Jack CL. That's a nice one. My sister's getting married to an Italian. This will be a helpful podcast to learn more about the Italian culture. So we appreciate all these reviews, guys. We really do. And we, if anything else, if you guys want to hear more about something, or you know, you can always drop us an email at info@villacapelli.com. Let us know, and let us know what else we can do to make the show more enjoyable for you.
Keep those cards and letters coming.
Exactly. And then, without ado, we'll go right into the bike trip. So again, Paul said this is we do it twice a year. We start off quick. Saturday, everybody arrives. We do bike fittings, that kind of good stuff. Then we have a nice welcome dinner orientation. The next day is the first trip, and that's to Ruvo de Puglia is the first stop.
I just want to say, though, that one of the things that makes our bike trips a lot different from probably most other, if not all other bike trips, is that every day begins and starts at the villa. You know, other bike trips, from what we understand, you arrive that day, you get oriented. Then before going to bed, you have to repack your bags, your luggage, and you put it outside your front door. A van comes by the next morning. Your luggage gets packed onto the van. The van goes to the next hotel that you're going to be staying at. You get on a bike and you ride to that hotel. So every night you're in a different hotel. Every night you're packing your bags, and you know, after a while you just don't know where the hell you are. Whereas here, every day begins and ends here. You don't have to pack your bags every night. You feel like you have a place that you can call home at least for a week, and it just feels a little more comfortable.
Yes. And every time we're starting either from the villa or biking back to the villa. So it's always Villa Central.
Yes.
So this is, again, like the first day we start out at the villa and bike to Ruvo, which is not far, like 5 kilometers. 5 kilometers.
Yes.
And in Ruvo, we do the Jatta Museum.
J-A-T-T-A, Jatta, which, the guy who started the museum, this guy by the name of Jatta, J-A-T-T-A, in the 1800s, he was one of the first people to actually start collecting Roman and Greek urns, Grecian urns. In fact, most museums they go to anywhere in the world, major cities, if they have a Greco-Roman gallery and a collection of Greek urns, if you look closely at the tags, it will usually say that they are either from, well, Greece, obviously, but also from Ruvo di Puglia, which is the town just 5 kilometers away from us, or from Canossa, which is a town maybe 25 kilometers away from us, near Cannae della Battaglia, or Cannae, the Battle of Cannae, which is where Hannibal soundly defeated the Roman legions 300 years or 250 years before Christ.
And the museum, although it's small as far as museums go, but it's actually really, really beautiful.
And it's free.
Yes, and beautiful works. Like the vases are enormous and just really beautiful.
Yes, pretty amazing.
From there, we head from Jatta, we head down to Molfetta,
Oh, oh, that's our bell.
That's the guest.
I'll continue while Stephen gets to the door.
Yep.
Molfetta is a town on the coast, on the Adriatic coast, about maybe 7 kilometers away from us. What's really interesting about Molfetta is that most of the people who migrated from Molfetta to the United States actually ended up in Hoboken, New Jersey. That's right, Hoboken. In fact, in Hoboken, every year they still have the feast. As far as I know, they still celebrate the feast of Our Lady of the Martyrs, La Madonna dei Martiri, which is the patron saint of Molfetta. And even my dentist, my former dentist when I was living in the States, who's based in New Jersey, down by Asbury Park, Dr. Anthony Salustio, who's an amazing dentist, his family also comes from Hoboken, actually from Molfetta, then moved to Hoboken, and then, like all immigrants, when they made a little bit of money, they moved out to the suburbs. So whenever you run into a person from Hoboken who's of Italian ancestry, you can most assuredly ask him or her, is your family by any chance from Molfetta? And chances are they'll say, yeah, how did you know? Because I heard it on the podcast.
So then from Molfetta, I'm back, by the way. I hope the guests weren't too loud coming in. Mm-hmm. It's one of the natures of running a villa. We're always here. We're right by the gate, so we let people in. We bike over to a wonderful seafood restaurant, have a lunch on the water, which is great. And then we do a quick walking tour of Giovinazzo, which is a beautiful little gem of a town that hardly anybody goes to, but
yeah,
it's beautiful.
Tiny little fishing port that's really beautiful with a old castle wall and castle tower right on the edge of the water. But it's really great. I mean, not many tourists from outside the area, and the few that are there, a lot of them are actually Americans also, whose family left. You know, families left all these little towns back either at the turn of the century, all the way up to the 1950s, just because they were very poor towns, not much work, not much money, not much to do. So they moved to the States. And now some of them kept their houses and keep in touch with their family members, and they return in the summer.
And then after that, we basically bike from sea level back to the villa, which isn't necessarily like you're biking a lot uphill, but it's a slight, ever so slight gradual uphill the entire way back.
All the way.
Yeah, so that can be a little bit tough of a ride back. But it's nice. It's a fun little first day. Then the next day is Gravina,
mm-hmm. which is Gravina in Puglia.
Yes, so we actually van it out to Gravina, and we do a walking tour of the town. And we basically, this wonderful little old man that has the keys to the city. Literally, he has 50 keys on his belt. He never misses a beat and knows exactly which key goes into what door and port. And we're talking like gates that go into caves and goes into ancient churches. And
yeah, there's actually a cool complex of churches that one of them was a pagan ritual site, a pagan temple, I guess, to fertility, which then became a Jewish synagogue before it became a Christian church. So it's pretty cool that, you know, the Jewish history in some of these towns, you know, obviously predates Christian religion, which all Jewish religion does. But to see these towns in the middle of nowhere where, you know, before the birth of Christ, I guess, Christians, Muslims, and Jews all cohabitated. They all lived very happily next to each other. Until one day the Saracens came along.
Dum, dum, dum.
And one of the churches that we go into, which is the ancient cathedral of Gravina in Puglia, actually has a huge stack, about 4 feet tall, of skulls and bones all stacked up on top of each other, which were the remains of the Christian inhabitants who were slaughtered by the Saracens in the Middle Ages.
Pretty cool.
Kind of cool, but kind of scary too.
Yeah. Then we have a picnic lunch, and I wanted to point out that our picnic lunch is not a sandwich and a bag of chips. We do an Italian picnic lunch, which means prosciutto, pancetta,
salami.
Salami, big chunks of cheese. I do hummus and vegetables for the guys.
Good bread.
Yeah, bread usually we buy in Gravina that morning as we're touring. So we have fresh Italian bread. So it's a nice little
red
picnic.
Wine.
Yes, red wine. No, it's a nice little picnic lunch.
It's a great picnic, except that Stephen likes to bring turkey breast. He thinks people like turkey breasts in their sandwiches.
An option besides red meat.
I think turkey breast has nothing to do with Italian culture, but that's okay.
All right.
And people do eat it.
Yes, people eat it. People like it. Then from there, we bike back to the villa through beautiful countryside. The next day is Castel del Monte. So we actually, again, vanned up to Castel del Monte, and I think we talked about this a little before, and we'll get into Castel del Monte maybe another time, specifics, but it's a beautiful World UNESCO Heritage Site.
Mm-hmm.
We have 360-degree views of the surrounding countryside.
It's a castle built by Frederick II of Swabia, which is a region of southwestern Germany. Built in the 1100s or 1200s.
And has a lot of mythology-esque around it now because they've lost a lot of the history, actually.
But it's really cool. No, it's really, really cool.
It's beautiful. And then it's probably
And it's also on the back of the Euro penny.
Yes, it is. Did we do a ride back to the villa? It's probably my second favorite ride now because we added an additional ride on Thursday, which is nothing short of spectacular. But this ride is through these roads, and I will again say that most of our routes are on untrafficked roads, so we rarely see many cars, which is great because you're not worrying about traffic, and also great because you get to see sights you would just never see otherwise. I mean, it's just these back roads that are just totally beautiful, gorgeous farmlands and rolling hills and truly and
sheep.
Oh yeah, no, it's really, really amazing.
And sometimes we see soldier boys.
That was nice. We got a little escort through one time because they were doing military exercises, so they had to escort us through a certain area. They had a beautiful ride back. We do a picnic. We do a lunch at the villa, and then we have a little bit of a free afternoon. The next day is actually an off-the-bike day where we actually go and tour Matera and Polignano a Mare.
Mm-hmm. Polignano a Mare is famous as the home of the writer and singer of arguably one of the most famous songs in the entire world, after Happy Birthday. His name is Domenico Modugno, and the song that he was famous for is Volare, oh, cantare,
And there's a wonderful statue of him at the top of one of the little scenic outlooks.
Yes.
And we found out we had an artist come who actually taught students here this last summer how to do what classical
ancient plastering methods.
Yes. Basically stucco. Using straw, water, dirt, and sand. And it was amazing. They would just mix it until it was ground up and it became this slush that they would throw against the wall, and it was stucco.
Stucco.
It was so cool to
see.
And
for some parts where they also used what we would call ears of the prickly pear cactus, you know, those big sort of oblong things, which I guess most of us would call them leaves. But actually, if you didn't know this, those big ears on the cactus, those are actually branches, and the leaves of a cactus are actually the thorns. Not many people knew that, probably. So they take those ears, they cut them up. It's kind of gelatinous inside. They put them in water for a couple of days, and it creates a glue that they use in certain parts of the plaster.
It's really cool. It was beautiful, beautiful stuff. It was nice. But basically, Casey was doing some research on the artist because his name is Hermie, right? Is that his name?
No, Meyer. Herman Meyer.
Herman Meyer.
Not exactly an Italian name. He's actually Argentinian of German and Italian descent, and his name is Hermann Meyer.
He actually did the statue in Polignano of
Domenico Modugno.
Yeah, yes. It's kind of cool. So, and it's actually the site of a restaurant that is listed as having one of the top 10 views for a restaurant in the world.
Yes, it's amazing. And actually, the restaurant itself, the grotto that's overlooking the sea, it's like carved out right on the sea. that also is a World Heritage UNESCO site, or a UNESCO World Heritage site. Italy, by the way, has the most UNESCO World Heritage sites of any other country in the world, mm-hmm. like by a long shot.
So, wait, the restaurant is actually UNESCO?
Yeah, yeah, the grotto that it's in, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Wow. No, it's a really special place, and the food is actually pretty dang good. You think you're paying for the view, but the food is actually pretty good, too.
No, it's very good.
Yeah. The next day, that's my favorite right now. We go from, you're going to tell me the name of the castle again.
The Garagnone.
Yes.
Garagnone is a castle that is only like one wall left of it on this hilltop in the middle of nowhere in the Murgia National Park here in Puglia. The Alta Murgia National Park, actually. Okay. It looks like just a piece of rock, but there is a wall left to it. It overlooks the ancient Appian Way. From there, we overlook another castle, which is the Castle of Monteserico. It's actually in Basilicata. And so we climb up the hill on foot to get views of this amazing valley from Puglia into Basilicata, the province of Potenza, which is the capital of Basilicata. And then when you come back down the hill, you get on your bikes and you ride through some of the most amazing countryside I have ever seen.
No, it's truly, I mean, breathtaking.
Yeah,
beautiful.
And at the end of the ride, it's it is the steepest hill that we climb. Literally, the car hardly makes it up this hill to get up to the castle.
No, and the worst part is because that hill.
Yeah.
And then there's one at the end of the ride, which you've been riding all day, and it's literally 2 kilometers uphill.
Yes,
it's a tough ride, but
like way uphill.
Yes. All right, we're going to stop and reach the phone, and we'll be right back. And we're back, and that was Paul's mama calling.
That was my mommy calling.
Yes.
From Florida, from Jupiter Beach, Florida.
So
we ride up to this castle of Monteserico, yes. And the cool thing about it is that we get the custodian to open up the castle for us, and we put out a beautiful lunch inside the castle, and we eat in the castle.
Yeah, it's cool.
And then we ride back down and through more amazing countryside. And I usually stop. Well, this time I stopped because it was late spring when the wheat was pretty much ready to be harvested. And I cut down some wheat so I can make some table dressings.
But you also took beautiful pictures of all the abandoned. Well,
yeah.
I would say they're abandoned, but I don't know if they were ever actually occupied.
Yeah, they probably weren't. Because back in the 1950s, I believe, The Italian government decided to try to repopulate these acres and acres and acres of farmland, and they built homes for people so they could have free homes to live in if they would just farm the land. And they started building the homes, and then most of the people said, I ain't doing that. I'm not living out in the middle of nowhere and farming the land. I want to go to the big cities. I want to go to America. So the houses were left unfinished and eventually abandoned.
Yes. I mean, and I will say where they are, I mean, the views are amazing, but you are in the middle of absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, but it's cool. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But God forbid, like, you go to the store and you forget the
exactly,
milk.
I forgot the
or
milk.
Or the bread. You got to go all the way back.
It's like, what do you do?
If you can find a store.
Exactly. No, it's way out there, but it's pretty dang amazing.
It's amazing. It's beautiful, beautiful countryside. I mean, it definitely rivals anything you would see in Tuscany.
Yes, definitely. Then the final bike day is to Trani. We depart from the villa and bike to Trani, which is another seaport town.
Mm-hmm. It looks like a seaport in the south of France, like kind of like Saint-Tropez.
Yes.
Really beautiful. A lot of money.
No, it's really a nice, and it has a beautiful, it's famous for its cathedral, which actually juts out onto the water, and the cathedral itself is nothing short of spectacular because of its simplicity.
If any of you have read or have heard about the book Pillars of the Earth by, I can't remember his name, British author who does a lot of war and espionage novels. Pillars of the Earth is about this guy who, you know, in the Middle Ages who becomes an apprentice to build cathedrals, you know, Gothic cathedrals. Before then, they were just Romanesque. And if you've read that book and like that book, then, you know, go to visit this cathedral, the Cathedral of Trani, right on the sea, right on the water, and it is just spectacular, mostly because there's really nothing in it, like nothing gaudy, not a lot of gold, not a lot of statues, not a lot of paintings. It's just this magnificent, huge cathedral sitting right on the edge of the sea. It's spectacular.
Yes. I mean, just and beautiful stonework, but so simple in its stonework. Yeah. It's just really, really nice. And you can also visit, with most of these churches, you visit the original cathedral, which is below.
And this one has two churches below it, actually. Yeah. Yeah. The lowest one, I think, being built in it's like 600 AD.
No, and those are spectacular as well.
Yeah, with frescoes and stuff. It's really Byzantine frescoes. No. It's pretty cool.
It's really nice. Then we have a nice little lunch in Trani.
Mm-hmm.
Some people choose to bike back. Some choose to ride in the van back. Like
because
me.
The lunch is too nice?
Yes, like me. I never ride back. By that point, I'm dead in a week. These guys, they come. I must say, I admire bikers who can do this. I'm not a biker. I'm much more of a runner than a biker. And some of these guys just can really bike, and they love to do it. So I admire them if they can do all this. And at the end of the week, they're still going, and I'm ready to go come back and actually cook our barbecue farewell dinner, which is
and the other great thing, by the way, that the fact that we come back to the villa every day as opposed to going to a new hotel every day is that when you come back from your bike ride, you take a shower, you relax a little bit, and then we put out happy hour, lots of drinks for everybody.
Yes, little snacks, typical treats, all that good stuff,
and an open bar.
Yes, that was a lot of fun.
Nice.
And so I will say, we do this through our agency. Again, you can look up HE Travel if anybody's interested. But if also
in,
we've done
Key West, Florida.
We've done it with other groups on their own. So, and that group, I will say, did change things up a little bit. Not against our recommendation, because we've done this trip enough that we know, like, okay, this works, this doesn't work. You really should do this. You really shouldn't do that. But so we highly recommend if you're coming with us, we'll arrange with you, and we recommend this schedule because we've really worked hard on it. So,
and you should listen to what we say because we know what we're doing.
Yes. I mean, and I will say, though, a good thing with this trip, too, and I was going to put this in my little actions and recommendations for people, is we do have guides. That we have a lead guide, Fabio,
mm-hmm.
who is out front, and he's leading the trek so that some of the other tours, you know, you're getting given a map and directions, which, I mean, maybe it's me personally. I think that's a nice adventure part of it. But this part, you don't have to worry about that. So you can actually look up and enjoy the scenery, and you're not worried, oh, did I make the right turn? Did I make the wrong turn? What's next? To me, it's like you can relax a little bit because there's a lot of support on this trip. So, you know, Paul's following behind in the van. So if you get tired, you just put your bike up on the rack and you get in the van. You're fine, you know. So that's real. The nice things about this trip.
Yeah, it's great. And I drive the van. I never ride a bike. And I smoke cigarettes in the van. And I listen to music and I follow them. And sometimes I precede them. Yes. But I have fun.
I ride the bike.
And I take pictures.
I have fun riding the bike. Not as much fun as the participants because I'm not a biker. But I have fun. I like to be on the bike just to be there and, you know, be part of the group.
But it's also a great way to see the countryside. It's a great way to visit Italy and just, you know, take your time. And
I would recommend that on any bike
trip. See it at street level.
Yeah, we've had groups, and again, I guess everybody's different. Some groups wanted to get from point A to point B as fast as they could. And I've always said, like, it's a bike trip. Just, like, the best part about a bike trip is you're on the bike and you can see stuff you would never really see before. So stop and take a picture or just look up and enjoy the scenery. Because it really is spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Should I give my little personal actionable stuff on a bike trip? Whether it's our bike trip or any bike trip?
If you want.
I'll give you a little bit. It's just stuff I've learned along the way so that you guys can use, whether you're doing your own little bike trip or you're coming on ours. I did not have this in the beginning, but I do recommend padded shorts. I will say, after the first day, you need those padded shorts.
and what's that cream called?
Boy Butter.
Boy Butter.
I think so.
To, like, slather on your butt.
So it doesn't rub against the seat and create blisters. I don't use that, but I do use the padded shorts. I will say gloves I would recommend as well, because your hands, you're gripping those handles so
I don't think it's boy butter, by the way. I think boy butter is like a lube, isn't it?
Yeah, but what's this one called? Something
butt butter or something. Or
it used to be right outside forever.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Boy butter, something else.
It's probably not boy butter, but sorry. Forgive me. I won't have a link to that. I will recommend gloves, bicycle gloves, or, you know, even like weight gloves that have like your fingertips are free. But I learned that the hard way a couple trips ago where I fell and ripped my hand open. But it also just helps cushion you on the handlebars. So I do recommend gloves. Of course, water, what somebody actually nicely left for me, one of the guests a couple trips ago left me one of their camelbacks. If you don't know what a camelback is, it's basically a backpack that has a water pack in it.
It's like a water lung.
Yeah. And you fill that up and then you have a little tube right on your shoulder that you can just pick up and drink from. It's great because you can hold a lot more water than a water bottle and it's always right there. You're not reaching down to get your bottle. I love the camelback. I'll have links to all these in the show notes, by the way, at livingvillacapelli/10. So if anybody needs to look these up. And the only other thing, a little tip I have is for sunscreen, obviously always wear sunscreen. If anybody doesn't know, I found this tip, again, from another guest. You learn a lot with these trips. But if you to help you spread sunscreen, especially on your face where you don't want that cakey, some of that stuff is really thick, add just a drop of moisturizer to your sunscreen and, you know, kind of mix it up in your hand. It makes it so much easier to spread.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, it works really, really well. Otherwise, you get cakey stuff like all over your face. This one kind of like really smooths in. That's, I think, our bike trip.
So come bike with us. Come bike with us.
It's actually, it's a lot of fun. The trip is just a blast. And we've had some great guys come through. It's a lot of fun. We had Bob Tushman of the Food Network come last year, I think.
Yeah, right? I think it was last year.
Yeah, no, he was a great guy to have, great fun. That group was fun. This year was actually a little younger than normal.
A little smaller, 9 people.
Yeah.
Which was perfect size.
Yes, perfect. But you know, we've had people all the way up to late 60s.
No, 70s.
Yeah.
And they're some of the hardest riders.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, if anybody's ever interested, just let us know, shoot us an email. Again, we can design it. We can do as much of this tour or as little as you want, but we always, bikes is always available here and we have a blast. And whether you're biking with us or wherever, I highly recommend bike tours. They're so much fun and they're really beautiful.
And it makes you feel that after you've eat all our great food, don't worry about it. I'm going to work it off the next morning.
Exactly. And that's the best thing. So thanks again, guys, for all the reviews. And please share this. Like, if you know anybody else that would enjoy this podcast, please let your family and friends know. Again, you can find us at Villa Capelli everywhere. We're Villa Capelli on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You know, so any of those things you want to search.
And VillaCapelli.com. That's our products.
Products.
VCVilla.com is the house.
Yes.
And Living Villa Capelli is the podcast.
Yes. And there are links on each one of those sites to each other. So they all kind of feed onto each other, you know? So that's it, I think.
Buona notte. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
And we'll see you on the next episode. Pod.
Yes. Arrivederci.
Ciao.